Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, the podcast that meets at the intersection of sport and faith. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and our Sport Faith Life YouTube channel, where you can watch full episodes as we dive deeper into how Christianity and sports connect. Hit that subscribe button and leave us a review on whatever podcast platform you're listening on. Today on Sport Faith Life, we are joined by Travis Vaughn, one of the key leaders behind the resurgence of Upward Sports, the largest youth recreation sports ministry in the United States. Each year, more than 225,000 young athletes participate in Upward programs run locally by churches across the country. Travis is also an accomplished runner. After earning a college scholarship in the sport, he stepped away from running for nearly 10 years before returning with a goal, the goal of qualifying for the Boston Marathon. 7 years later, he achieved it, and he'll run Boston next year. Today, he co-hosts the Kinda Fast podcast, and he helps lead Upward Running, where faith, fitness, and community come together. We're really excited to get to know Travis, so let's get started.
Well, we are so excited to have Travis Vaughn with us today. Travis, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Yeah, I think we could talk about it from two different eras in my life, from how I got into sports to who I am as a sport parent at this point in time. I played baseball and basketball and football growing up, more on the little league, church basketball, high school football kind of framework there. But I've got a pretty cool story if you want to hear about how I got into running eventually. Yes, and it might be a way to learn a little bit about me. And ultimately, this is a story about someone seeing something in me that I could have never saw in myself. So the story goes like this. My freshman year of high school, I played football in the fall, tried really hard, really wanted to be a Clemson Tiger one day. I live in South Carolina and just all about college football. And man, if I could do that, that would be amazing. And ultimately I was too small and too slow and not good enough to do anything like that in the end, but played football in the fall. And then in the spring I went out for track. And so my version of track was to go out and run the 100 and 200 meters and get faster for football. But it was all about perception. It wasn't actually getting faster for football. Ultimately, I sat out on the jumpers mat most practices and talked to friends and girls and, you know, didn't really do much with it. So that was kind of my freshman year. My sophomore year, I play football in the fall. Come track season, I'm going to get faster for football. And I'm on the same trajectory I'd been the whole preseason. I'm sitting out on the jumpers mat. I'm running here and there, but nothing's really, really happening there. And on a trip, on a two-team race from, we're on the bus on the way from my high school to another high school. One of the coaches called me to the front of the bus and he says, "Hey, I was watching you the other day. I think you would be a better distance runner than sprinter. And so I've signed you up for the 2 mile today. It's going to be the first run of the day. And I want you to get ready when you get off the bus, get warmed up and give this thing a go." I go, "I've never run 2 miles in my life. I have never actually run two consecutive miles in my life." He's like, "Oh, you'll be fine. This no problem. You'll handle it. No problem." I go, "I'm not doing it. There's no way." And so like there's this back and forth goes for a little bit on the bus. And eventually he says, "Well, if you're not going to do it, you can go tell the head football coach that you've quit the track team and you don't care anything about getting faster for football." Well, it was all about perception anyway, so I couldn't let that happen. So I say, "Fine, I'll do it." And I get off the bus. I go find my dad. My dad, you know, parents have been coming to all these races and see me, you know, finish next to last, basically, in all of them, in the 100 and 200. And find him, and I go, "They got me running the 2 mile today." And he says, "What are you, crazy? You've never run 2 miles in your life, you know?" And so I go, "I know, but you know, here we are, and I've got to go do it." And so it's a small race, you know, two teams. And I go out and I run 11:47 for 2 miles, which isn't like crazy fast in the world of 2 mile high school running, but it was good enough to get second that day on that two team race. And lo and behold, the state champion that year was 2 years older than me, and he was on my team. And we had a distance coach there who would go on in the next two decades to become a South Carolina Hall of Fame coach. And they took me under their wing. And within by the end of that year, I ran 10:19 in the 2 mile. And like suddenly I was actually good at something. And I'd never had really been like elite or really quite good at anything in the past. And so I was on the C's gets degrees plan in high school. Like I was not, my parents hadn't gone to college. They had wanted me to go to college, but I don't think that that was the path I was on at the time. And within a year or so, colleges started calling me, and I got the opportunity to run at a Division II school eventually, and have most of that school paid for, and just had a tremendous time with running and pursuing that goal during that time. But ultimately, like I think that story, like Coach McCollum was the coach that did that at Wade Hampton High School in Greenville, South Carolina. He passed away in the last year, but the legacy that he instilled in me, I have so many opportunities in life and in general because of running and because he saw something in me that I couldn't have seen in myself originally. Just ultimately very thankful and blessed that that opportunity came about for me.
This is so great. I just, like, I love this. When people describe their experiences with sport and there's like an epiphany moment, right? And you shared that, which is fantastic. And it seems like implicit within that is probably some faith-based elements contextualized. So on to the next question. Tell us a little bit about faith in your life.
Yeah, I'm Christian that's involved with my church here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I have one of those stories that like every parent would want for their own kids, but isn't like this great, amazing conversion story of lost and in the dumps and come to find Jesus. I was 8 years old and a part of a Christian family. We went to a different Southern Baptist revival, like during the week that, was in my hometown, and they had a altar call, and I, you know, had that moment where you couldn't have kept me in the pew. I had to go down and give my life to Christ. And certainly I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I've strayed along the way and been an idiot along the way, but very thankful that I've had a long Christian walk with Christ, and I continue to learn and dive more in the Word and figure out new things. And really right now, you know, I have an 11-year-old daughter, and we spend time going through biblical things before bed almost every night. And that's really one of the joys of my walk right now is doing that with her.
Well, Travis, there's nothing like a good old-fashioned Southern Baptist altar call. Don't apologize for that at all. That's fantastic. It's interesting that, like, I think I'm going to ask you this next question about tell something that reveals something about you, a hobby, something interesting that happened in your life. But I think you're the kind of person that sort of wears yourself on your sleeve, that we already know you. I know your whole history in running, which is fantastic. Sounds like when you were told you were going to do the 2 mile, you forgot and you just started sprinting. I mean, you sprinted for 2 miles. Good for you. And again, that story of discovery, but also the story of influence, right? Somebody came and discovered something about you. And, you know, as we talk to a lot of coaches, a lot of leaders in sport, and, you know, that's the kind of story that we like to hear back from our athletes, from anyone in our sphere of influence, that somehow there was an impact in the way that they interacted with you. And that's a great story. And I'm sure you've shared that with that front seat bus coach. And that's the kind of thing that gives us some inspiration as we think about the work that we do. Give us one thing about yourself that you would say is kind of set you apart, something unique.
Well, I think the most interesting thing right now is this, my running journey has continued. I've picked it back up in the last few years. So after college, ran a bunch of miles in college and ultimately got a little burnout in it, in the sport by the time the college running was done. You know, it almost became job-like as you kind of went through college, and you knew that there was money tied to it and things like that. And so maybe the love had gone away. So for about 10 years, I gave it up completely. But about 8 years ago, I jumped back in and started running again, and wanted to run a Boston qualifying time, and started pursuing it. I'm one of these people that's a check the box kind of person. So you put a plan in front of me, and I'm going to do that plan. If it says to do 6 to 8 800 meter repeats, I'm doing 8 every time, you know, that type of thing. And so with that, I got injured a number of times early on. So I tore a hip muscle. I tore a calf muscle. I've had a stress fracture. I tore the root of my meniscus and had to have surgery and put in a locked knee brace for 90 days after that. All that in the last 8 years, kind of chasing this running dream, but persevered through it all and continued to work at it and continue to work with good, smart coaches that have helped me improve and learn new ways of going about this and understand how the body works and how at 45, it doesn't exactly work the way it did originally when I was 17 and trying to run. And so last fall, I was able to run a Boston qualifying time. Today, as we tape this, it is the actual Boston race. I plan to be running in it next year in 2027 when my time comes out. But it's been a fun journey. And I never could have thought that when I started that journey 8 years ago, that about the time that all this would come to fruition, I would be able to start a running podcast with some friends here at work, kind of to support our Upward Running initiative, and really get to talk about this journey that I've been on. I would have loved that first marathon that I did in 2018 to have got the Boston qualifying time there, but it didn't happen there. It had to happen a long time later, and maybe that was the plan all along, so that I could kind of tell my story.
Well, congratulations for sure on managing that Boston qualifying the time. What is the Boston qualifying time for a 45-year-old?
Yeah, so you have to run for 45. It is age graded, so it depends on your gender and your age. So for 45, you have to run under 3:15. Now, at Boston, they have something that is known as the buffer. And so they have more people that qualify each year than they allow in the field. And so for the last couple of years, it's been about 4.5 minutes you have to run faster than the actual standard to get in the race. And so I ran a little over 7 minutes faster than that time. So you would think that while I've not officially got in the field, the sign-up period I think is in September each year, but you would think with a 7-minute buffer, I should be good to go for 2027.
Well, I like your optimism on that, and we expect that we will get a report on your Boston Marathon next time that we talk. That's really exciting, and what a journey to go through all of that and then arrive at your goal. Some people don't ever quite make it to their goal on this one, and in this case, you did. You kind of identified yourself as a goal-oriented person, which I'm guessing works really well for really the role that we wanted to talk about here today, which also now blends with your running. But it's really youth sport, right? Upward is a youth sport organization. And I'm not sure our listeners know what Upward is. So I wonder if you could give us sort of the big picture overview and then talk a little bit about sort of your journey in this role over the last about decade.
Yeah. I have been on staff here at Upward Sports for 13 years now. I started as a project manager originally and have moved into some other roles since then. Maybe I can talk about that as we go. But Upward Sports equips churches to run sports programming in their community. And so, you know, our mission statement says we promote the discovery of Jesus through sports. And we really see ourselves as an equipping organization. So everything that a church might need to get started to run a sports league, we provide them, from advertising materials to the systems that are world-class that they could utilize, like registration systems, league management systems, a coach app, you know, team pages for parents to interact with, volunteer management. We provide all the curriculum that they would need. So that's training for leaders, training for coaches, training for volunteers, also sport-based materials. So how do you teach the sport from a coaching standpoint? And then how do you share the gospel through our ministry content as well? I think we do, you know, really, really well in developing gospel-centered devotion series that can be given both at a practice night and on game days. And then there's supporting pieces that go with that as well. So something that can go home with parents to continue their conversation with their athletes during the week, something that prepares a coach ahead of the devotion on a week-to-week basis that kind of is something on their level that they can learn from on a week-to-week basis, but they can feel prepared when they give the devotion to have had that background knowledge when they kind of walk into it. And some other pieces like if someone, you know, wants to make a profession of faith and wants to understand what the next steps are, well, we've got curriculum and training to help people walk through those steps as well from a ministry standpoint. But then we also provide uniforms and balls and, you know, all the different other products that you might think of for a sports league. And we are 100% driven by the registration cost that a normal participant would pay. So this is, in almost every case, a no impact on a church budget ministry. So, you know, people expect to pay for a sports experience. Our fees that we need to stay sustainable ourselves are built into some small margin type things that we provide the church, and then the church charges a registration fee. And in the end, it really shouldn't cost the church anything to run that sports league other than the time and effort that it takes to do that at their local level. And so across the country, about 225,000 kids each year play Upward Sports. That goes across, you know, basketball being our largest sport. We're probably the largest recreation basketball provider in the United States. That counts ministry or non-ministry. You know, about 140,000 to 150,000 kids each year play Upward basketball. I do not know of another provider that in the recreation space that has that kind of reach. But we're also involved with soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, softball, and newly pickleball for youth. So those are all the different pieces that we are involved with as an organization.
Well, we both play pickleball, so we're excited about that. Big smiles here on screen from Brian and me when you mentioned that. So exciting to hear a little bit more sort of background on Upward. I mean, Upward is in our area, right? And so my son participated for a couple of years at a local church that's actually almost perfectly equidistant between where Brian lives and where I live here in West Michigan. And it just felt, you know, it felt different. It felt like there was certainly a focus on the sport, which happened to be basketball. And then also a really robust, you know, like you said, curriculum related to personal growth in one's faith. And so we had wonderful experiences there. And I just wanted to share that. But so you talked about the scope of the organization, right? Upward is nationwide, massive numbers of kids coming through the program, curriculum built around faith formation development alongside, you know, a realistic and impactful sort of sporting experience too, right? This isn't Vacation Bible School. It's we're playing sports competitively while also building in models for development of young people in many different ways. But then you mentioned sort of your different roles over the years. And I wonder if you'll talk about that, especially as we get towards, you know, this new initiative about Upward Running.
Yeah, sure thing. So I mentioned I started as a project manager. Back in 2018, we went through some big changes as an organization. And as part of that, we felt like we needed to start a market research department. And so I was asked to start that. I had a little bit of market research in my background prior to Upward. And you can really take anything from a project management standpoint and apply it. And I feel like come out with good results if you follow principally focused approach on those types of things. So we really started learning from both our own church partners out there and from others doing sports ministry that weren't doing Upward, from other sports organizations that didn't have anything to do with ministry at all. And we tried to understand, what are the needs of the market today? You know, Upward ultimately went on a 10-year decline from 2010 to 2020 that had some massive, you know, drops year over year during some of those times. And I think, you know, now that we're far enough removed from that time, if I look back on it, I think part of that was our organization was developed 30 years ago when a guy by the name of Kaz McCaslin, who was a rec minister at First Baptist Spartanburg in Spartanburg, South Carolina, had a just massive basketball league in his own church, and he was doing really well. And it grew to the point that they'd already added a second gym, and they were like, all right, what's next here? And someone challenged him that says, you know, hey, you figured this thing out. Go teach others how to do this to the level that you have. And instead of us adding on this local level, instead of you needing one more gym, as a famous quote he used to say, let's add 1,000 more gyms, right? And that's the birthplace of Upward Sports. And so with that, we kind of had the knowledge and we were teaching others. So kind of inward focus to the outside, trying to teach others how to do this recreation sports ministry type thing. And we saw explosive growth late 90s, early 2000s with Upward Sports. But eventually that kind of plateaued and then started to fall off for about a decade. And I think that market research department was a key place of trying to understand, all right, what has changed? I mean, in that time, Amazon became a thing, right? And all these other opportunities came out there that the world had changed over time, and maybe we hadn't changed with it to the level that we needed to. And so we became an outside-in organization through some very smart market research principles, design thinking principles. It's another thing that you could talk about there. And so we redeveloped a lot of the ways that Upward went to market with its products and just the strategy of it. Instead of it being about Upward, now it's about the local church and how can we equip you to run your sports league in the fashion that you want to. So, you know, there's a spectrum of like, how competitive you want to be. We support both. There's a spectrum of how intensive the ministry pieces of it are going to be. We want to support all of that. And so one of the things we uncovered was every church sees themselves as unique. And so we need to be able to equip them for their unique needs. And ultimately, we completely redeveloped the way that that Upward does things, staying true to the principles of what we are as an organization, but just adding flexibility to that as well. So part of that meant we used to procure all of our products and apparel overseas, bring it into our own distribution center, and then pick, pack, and ship and send that back out. And so it just wasn't going to be feasible to add the optionality we wanted to in that model anymore. So we had to go and partner with other organizations that could produce things more in this hemisphere and have more optionality for our churches. So, you know, some church that wants to keep costs down and they want a t-shirt uniform, we need to be able to provide that. But another like suburban big city church wants to have, you know, great sublimated, reversible jerseys and shorts with their church name on it, not Upward on it. We need to be able to support those types of things as well. Some of them want a very minimal package. Some of them want a very maximum package because that's who they're competing against in that marketplace. It's not just about like, hey, can I get kids to come to my church ministry? You know, you're competing against all the other sports organizations out there for the opportunity to share the gospel with those kids and those families in that community. And so started with market research, picked up product development personally. After that, I've picked up marketing as a focus after that as well. And so I have tremendous people that I work with that help pull all that together. But, you know, I mentioned the 10-year decline that we went on, and then COVID certainly wasn't a very good year for anyone in America. But coming out of that, we've had four straight years of growth. You know, we had about 70 to 90 churches that would partner with us on a yearly basis between 2010 and 2020. Over the last 5 years, that number's been 250 plus churches each of those years. And so we're seeing some good growth back in Upward Sports. And I think it ultimately goes back to, like, how can we equip the church? How can we come alongside them and truly partner with them to give them the experience that they're looking for, that'll be able to reach families in their community and their local neighborhoods around their church?
Well, that's a fantastic turnaround story, Travis. And I think it speaks very much to the mission of Upward and remaining true to your mission, but also being flexible enough to adjust to the marketplace. And I'm really intrigued with that idea of marketplace. First, you want each church to have their own flexibility to tell their own story, to run a program that suits them in their environment. And that's just really good business sense, really good sports sense in some ways, because you understand that sports are different in different communities. I guess I would wonder a couple of things when I think about that. First of all, you didn't talk about it directly, but you alluded to it. You also sort of operated through the era of the growth of private youth sports. So all of these youth sport organizations just exploded in the last couple of decades, away from municipal community-based sports programs, which still exists on some level, but to these private enterprises that are selling something for sure, and even pulling kids out of high school, middle school and high school sports. And so I'd really love to hear how you're positioning yourself in that environment, given that, you know, that's an evolving sort of, I would say, market aware industry as well. And so how do you position Upward Sports in a way that is distinct from that, but also operates in that same landscape?
It's a really great question. I was just last week was in Philadelphia at a sports recreation conference that everything from your kindergarten type sports companies there to the top clubs you might think of, software providers, apparel providers, product providers. It was a who's who of who is in sports in America today when it comes to like high school and below. And the amount of money and time and energy that's changed since Upward Sports started is unbelievable in that space. You know, one of the things I'm tracking right now is just how many of these companies are being bought out by private equity firms right now, and what is that? What's happening in the industry because of that? You know, Aspen put out a thing that talked about some of the decline in youth sports as far as participation goes. SFIA, another one, that most sports are slightly declining at the recreation youth sport level right now, but the revenues are increasing, right? So like, how does that work? Like, you're getting less players, but costs are going up. And some people, the latest number I've seen is since 2020, it's gone up 46% for families in the U.S. Now, I think it's important to know how they're pulling that statistic. They're pulling that based on, if you're a travel parent, it's the travel costs associated with it. It's the hotels that are associated with it. So it's not necessarily all registration fees. I think a lot of times we think of it as just that when we look at some of those revenue numbers. But Upward Sports, back to your question, lives in this world that is competing with these other sports organizations, where their livelihoods is providing, you know, great sports experience so they can bring as many people into their sports leagues as they can. And at scale is where you make real money on those types of things. And so we are involved in that. So how do we position ourselves? Well, we spend a lot of time training our churches out there to just provide a first-class, detailed, and organized sports experience in their community. And, you know, ultimately, it's the church that's running the league. And so we are one step removed from being able to run the sports experience ourselves. But we do things like highlight community heroes of the churches that we see doing really well across the country, and highlighting what we have representatives here on staff. We call them ministry consultants that will be over a region. And so what they hear, the great stories of what churches are doing and what's really working, and they are able to take that information and help train and equip other churches to do the same out there. So I think some of it is long-term knowledge of what has been successful, current knowledge of how things are changing and how people can do a better job with it. And then just really trying to promote that, like, if your goal of a church is to share the gospel, to reach families, the first thing you have to do is provide a really high quality sports experience. If you don't do that, you don't get the other opportunity, or people won't come back. Or it'll be a bad experience, and that puts your church in a bad light if you provide a bad experience. So top line, what does it have to be? It has to be a good sports experience for those families. And when you do that, it opens up other opportunities that the church really wants to. And so that's what we try to train and equip our churches to do.
All right. So I have, I want to give you an opportunity, Travis, to talk a little bit about, you know, your podcast and the work that you do specifically alongside running. But I'd also like to hear that kind of in connection to the vision of Upward over the next 5-10 years. If you want to give a couple minutes about that, you mentioned this, the new initiative of pickleball. We haven't gotten a chance to talk at all about Upward Running, so maybe you can fold that into an answer thinking about the future, as well as the work that you're specifically doing, tying together your interest in running and the youth sport industry, and Upward's role within that.
Yeah, I think we're at a good place right now as an organization where, you know, since COVID, we've launched volleyball as a sport that we hadn't had in the past. That sport may catch, you know, one of our legacy sports, flag football, as far as participation goes, in the next couple of years. It's been great growth, especially with females across the country. Kind of a 4th through 8th grade is the sweet spot for us, as far as participation goes, and that's been terrific. You know, pickleball we launched last year, and over 60 churches picked it up. We haven't even finished the first, you know, full year of offering that as a sport, and so we've seen growth in that. So I don't know that there's like another sport we're going to be releasing like right around the corner. It feels like we're at a holding place on what people are asking for. But as we kind of look to the future, we're running two separate research projects right now, going back to what does the church need? Where are the places that we can make an impact or grow the sports ministry area for churches around the country? And so I'm not sure what 5 years looks from now. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out as an organization right now. I do think that we're continuing to innovate all the time within our current offerings. We have a great market feedback kind of loop where we get information, we iterate on the things that we're doing, we make those changes, we go back and tell those people that, hey, you asked for this, all the way to the point of like, you called in and said, you think that the jersey's too long. All right, we record that, exactly who you are, when it is. And then if we make a change to that jersey and kind of shorten that jersey, we might call you up and say, hey, remember March of last year, you said the jersey is too long. I want to let you know we have shortened that jersey, and the next time you get it, it'll be to the specs that you were looking for. So we're always listening and trying to improve with the sports that we have. I think we could step into adult sports more so than we have to date in the next few years. I think that our first step into that has been Upward Running. We partnered with an organization called Run for God about 3 years ago and have rebranded them to Upward Running since then, that has made our first step into adult sports. But some of these other sports like basketball and softball and pickleball and things like that could be adult sports that we try in the future. Nothing specific on the roadmap as to a release date of anything like that, but those are things we're thinking about and moving towards in pilot type situations and things like that right now. But on the upward running thing, truthfully, we're still trying to figure it out to a degree. Like, where's the market product fit on that? You know, Run for God historically had church-based groups and some individual pieces there. We continue with those, but we're trying to kind of take back to where Upward Sports was in 2018 and learn from what people are looking for, try to improve upon what we're offering, and move forward with a strategy there. And so that's kind of a little bit of an answer of where we are and where we're trying to go in some of those places today.
Well, Travis, it's been extremely helpful to hear the history of Upward Sports and to hear a little bit of your history as you've connected to it, the evolution of the program, of the industry, and some aspects of where you're headed. I'm sure that it sounds to me like you're being very intentional, very prayerful, and very thoughtful about the next steps for Upward, and we just commend you in that activity. And it's what a great mission and tagline as well. If there's a family out there, a church that would like to get in touch with Upward Sports, could you just give us your contact information?
Let's take it from a couple different angles. So if you're a church wanting to do sports in your community, you know, upward.org is going to be the website for you. That'd be the same thing for if you're a parent looking to get your kid into an Upward Sports League. You'll find a button called Find a Place to Play, and you can click on that and find out if there are churches running sports in your area and then what sports those would be. So that would be on the Upward side. On the Upward Running side, it's upwardrunning.com. From there, we have two different paths for you. So we've developed an app that will help you train for your first 5K, kind of a couch to 5K type program, all the way to very advanced marathoning training. So we kind of look at it in 12-week training blocks, training for the 5K, 10K, half marathon, or marathon. With that, we have curriculum 7 days a week, both ministry and sport type curriculum that we provide on the individual side. And then we have church-based offerings as well. So small group, get together, like-minded people, getting together on a weekly basis, both people from the community and people from your church, to get together to walk and run together and ultimately work towards like a 5K opportunity would be that. And so you can find out information on that on upwardrunning.com as well.
Travis, thanks so much for coming on Sport Faith Life podcast, and best to you and to Upward Sports and to, you know, your Boston Marathon future. How exciting is that? We're just thrilled to be able to be a part of this, and hope you'll come on the show another time. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation, and hope you guys are well.